Welcome to Pioneer Church. We exist to be a gathering of kingdom people with kingdom passions who fulfill Jesus' kingdom purpose. The following message is from our Sunday morning worship gathering. To learn more about Pioneer Church, go online to www.pioneernc.com.
So I want to let you know, as I said earlier, that this morning is going to be a little different in that I'm going to preach God's word to you, but I also want to take some time today just to share my heart and what God has been speaking to me as your pastor about Pioneer Church. I never want to make this time about me because, man, I don't have anything to tell you that's worth anything, but God has a lot. But I do believe that as your pastor, he has led me to kind of share some things with you about where we are as a church and where he wants to take us. And the best way I know how to begin that is just with an illustration. And so I promise that I will, this will make sense in just a minute, but I want you to just track with me. One of the hard things about growing up, and my seasoned brothers and sisters will go, man, you have no idea what's coming, but as a 37-year-old, here's what I'm realizing. Man, growing up is hard. Getting old is rough. Because here's the problem. There's a disconnect, is there not? There's a disconnect between our mind and our body. A couple years ago, I was working at Ruger, and this guy came up to me. He said, hey, man, I heard you played softball. I did 10 years ago. Said, man, come on, let's play. It's like riding a bike. I was like, okay. Now, if you don't understand about anything about softball, if you can hit a home run, if you can hit it out, you don't have to run. Well, that's what I used to do. That was my bread and butter, right? Hit it out, go back to the dugout, sit down, right? And so I was like, well, I'll give it a shot, man. So first at bat, I get up there, and he grooves me one, and I crank into it. And I was like, all right, man, I done hit that thing 500 foot. And I looked, and it landed about 30 foot from the fence. So what do I got to do then? I got to run. Y'all, it took me 4 days to get over that. Like, I almost had to call out of work. My knees have never hurt so bad in my life. And I'm going, what happened, man? Well, this has happened, right? A lot happened in 10 years, but getting old is rough. And, you know, we're creatures of habit, right? We get into routines. Life just goes. We get up. We go to work. We do the same thing every day. And inevitably, we neglect things, don't we? And a lot of times we neglect our health. And so when that happens, God tends to put us in places where we need to pause, where we need to take a step back and refocus on some things. In our bodies, it kind of happens like this. We might get sick, right? You know, you've probably seen that meme, you know, take care of your health now so that some, I don't know, anyway, basically do it now because if you neglect it down the road, it gets a lot harder. And so God will do that. Inevitably, he'll put some things in your life, sickness or an injury, to make you pause. And I've personally had to live this out recently. For the last several months, I've just kind of had some stuff. I don't know what you call it. I don't know what it is. I just thought it was just stress and getting older and eating hot dogs and all that good stuff, you know. But I couldn't focus, you know, like I had a brain fog, you know what I mean? And I would wake up just exhausted, like just tired. And so I would talk to Laura about it, and being the good wife that she is, you know, she'd go, you need to go to the doctor. And I'd go, I'm not doing that. Like, I don't hurt. I'm just not myself, you know? Something's not right. And so for several months, I kind of just neglected it. Well, here's what would happen. Like, I would get up in the morning. I'm going to be real transparent with y'all. This is hard for me to share, but I love you. Like, I would get up to read my Bible in the morning. I have this chair that sits in the corner of my bedroom, and I would get up, and I'd have my coffee, and I'd have my Bible. And I would wake up 45 minutes later because I'd just fallen asleep. Didn't even know it. And I'm like, something is not right with me, you know? But then I get up, take a shower, get on with the rest of my day, and just push on through, you know? But, again, God being the good father that he is, finally got me to a place where I couldn't function. I got to sit down to write a sermon, and I just couldn't focus. Man, I could not, I just couldn't get it, you know? And so I went to the doctor, And when I went to the doctor, they put me through the ringer, man. Every kind of blood test you can imagine. They've put me on medicine and all this stuff, and they're still looking at different things. And so I've got some things in my life that need to be addressed. Nothing major, like I'm not dying. I mean, we're all dying, but, you know, like I'm not dying tomorrow, I don't think. But there's just some things that I neglected in my health and in my life. And so I know this sounds silly to you, and it's the pride in me, but I've had a lot of emotions with that. Like, I've been angry with myself because I let my body get to where it is, the condition that it's in. Like, I'm mad at myself. I'm discouraged because what if I never feel better again? Like, you know, what if right now's as good as I feel, you know? That's kind of discouraging, isn't it? There's fear. There's this fear that, man, maybe I won't be around to see my kids graduate, you know? And that was what was really kind of the hard thing for me. I love my wife. I love what I do. But, like, not being able to throw ball with my kids, that was a big deal to me, you know? And so there's some things that I've had to work through, and I'm coming to grips with some of it, with the reality that I need to make some changes. But change is hard, is it not? Nobody likes change. Even babies don't like change until it's happened, right? But there's been this process for me, and I've had to come to this conclusion. Here's the truth. It doesn't matter what the doctors say about my health. Like, they can give me the perfect plan of action to get healthy. It doesn't matter what my wife says about my health and what I need to do. Who is it on to make those changes in my life? It's me. So in order for that to happen, I've got to get honest. I've got to have some humility. I've got to get to a place where I am able to make the decisions that I need to make to change my health. And so again, I've had to come face to face with a lot of that, and a lot of those emotions along the way. And what God has begun to reveal to me is that my issues aren't just physical. They're symptomatic of something deeper. There's a deeper root in that, man. Here's one thing he's shown me. I love food. Y'all ain't saying amen to that. We're in a Baptist church. Amen. Amen. But here's the truth. Like, it's not just like I love to eat and I love the taste of food. Like, I find a joy in it. I find a fulfillment in it that Jesus wants to be. Because see, here's the thing. I control food, you know, like I can control, like if I'm feeling bad, I'll just go eat something, you know? And so it's a lot deeper than just physical. And so when God begins to root around in your life and he begins to show you some stuff, it's usually a lot deeper than what we think it is. And so we've got to get to this place where we say, you know what, man, I'm willing to do what it takes to address and identify whatever's needed so that I can be who God created me to be. Now, here's why I'm telling you this. A couple reasons. One, as your pastor, as a leader, God has given me the task of shepherding you. And part of that is setting an example. Look at this. 1 Peter chapter 5. If we could get them thrown up on the back, man, if you don't mind. 1 Peter chapter 5. This is what Peter says. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge. And here's the key. But being examples to the flock. Like, you're supposed to be able to look at me and get a good example for how you should live your life. Not that I'm God, not that I'm perfect. But my job is to help you be Christ-like by the way that I live. And so I'm not doing a good job of that. So I confess that before you, man. I want to be a better example to the flock that God's entrusted to me. Two, man, by telling you this, y'all going to hold me accountable. I know it. You're going to ask me, how's it going? What you eating these days? And I'm probably going to give you a little attitude. That's just how I am. Bear with me. I love you. This is hard for me, right? But we are welcoming, I am welcoming accountability into my life for the decisions and the changes that I need to make. Because here's why. Like, I want to do this with y'all for a long time. Like, I really want to do this for a long time. Our best days are still ahead of us. And so I want God to determine the duration of this thing, not my arteries. Y'all tracking with me? And so I want you to hold me accountable on that. We got a lot of work to do, Pastor. Let's do it. You got to be here for that. But then here's the important thing, the most important reason is because as I began to face this reality of where I am in this journey of health, at the same time, God began to work on me and reveal some things about the spiritual health of Pioneer Church. It was like synonymous. Like in order to get my attention, to show me some things he wanted to show me, he had to run it through my own physical life. And so as I'm looking at my health and I'm looking at how I need to get healthy and the things that I need to be addressed, he began to show me some things about Pioneer Church. And you know, the old saying is the best sermons that are ever preached are the ones that are lived first, right? And so I'm living this out as I preach it to you. And so right along with our own health revelations, my own health revelations rather, God's been revealing to me this need for us to look at Pioneer Church, and we need a checkup. And so on your outline on the front, I don't have it on my slides. I left it off. But it's good for us to have a spiritual checkup every now and then, is it not? And so God, being our Father, being our Lord, being our King, is calling us into the doctor's office for a checkup. And just let me just say this right off the bat, so you don't get any misconceptions. Like, I love Pioneer Church, don't you? Like, it's a great church. Nobody's, like, there's no trouble here. There's no rumblings and grumblings that are, you know, causing roots of bitterness to grow up that we're not dealing with and addressing. There's no, like, nobody's stealing any money. You know, there's none of that. But we don't want that to be the gauge of our health, right? Like, just if we're avoiding controversy, that means we're healthy. That's not true. You see, health is a proactive thing. Wouldn't you all agree that we can all do better? We can all do better, and God has better things for us. And so this morning is not about telling us how bad we are or how out of shape we are as a church. It's about evaluating, examining ourselves, or letting God do that. Because here's the truth. Inevitably, something's neglected. There's an aspect that God has us wants us to address that we're not addressing. Churches get in a routine just like people, right? Churches love comfort just like people. And when we get comfortable, when we get in a routine and we neglect things, there is always a danger of health issues. And so we're going to allow God to give us a checkup. So let's first begin with talking about why do we need a checkup in the first place? Go with me in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. We know Jesus was a disciple of Christ. Christ ascended back to heaven. He became an apostle, which was this leader of this new founded church in Jerusalem. And as the gospel spread, these churches started popping up all over the world, right? And so what these apostles would do is they would occasionally write letters to these churches, just kind of giving them a checkup, right? How are you doing? What's going on here? Paul was very good at that, but Peter did the same thing. And so here in 2 Peter, he writes this chapter or this letter, if you will, to this church because they need to do some spiritual evaluation. Here's how we know that. 2 Peter 1:10, he says, "Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election." That's an action phrase, right? There's something that Peter's telling them to do. You need to be diligent. What does it mean to be diligent? Focused, right? Proactive, right? You need to be intentional, thorough. Those are some words that come to our minds. So he's saying you need to be intentional in taking this evaluation of your church to see where you are, to see if these two things are present, to confirm your calling and your election. And so here's what he's saying. Be sure of who you are, who you belong to. Make sure that you are of Christ and that you are being who he's called you to be. So he's calling this church to a spiritual checkup. But I want us to back up to the beginning of the book for just a minute and talk about what this checkup reveals in our lives. So go back to verse 1 with me, 2 Peter 1, verse 1. Simeon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them, through those promises, you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Well, Peter can pack into four verses what it will take us 2 hours to unpack, right? He said a mouthful there. So what exactly did he say? Let's break it down. The first thing I want you to notice is who Peter is addressing and how he addresses them. In verse 1, he says he's writing to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with his. In other words, Peter is saying, I'm writing to believers, Christians, right? Those who believe the same gospel that I believe, who have faith in the same Christ that I have faith in. And so there's a first and most important thing of our spiritual checkup should reveal this. What is the substance of our faith? And so I'm going to make this analogy between our faith and the church and our body. Okay, so that's where we're tracking today. That's why hopefully the illustration made sense to you. So Peter is, first of all, calling these people to examine the substance of their faith. What is their faith in? The presence of this thing that identifies them as Christians. You see, churches can have a lot of attributes, right? They can pursue a lot of things. You know, they can be labeled the loving church, right? They do a lot of good things. They're the serving church. They're the generous church. But those things cannot be what drives the church, right? Those are outflowings of the root of the thing. So our faith in the person and work of Jesus has to be the core and the foundation in order to be called a healthy church. Like, it's got to be about the gospel. And the reason we do what we do is because of the presence of the gospel in us. That is what drives us. So we could talk about our faith as being the heart of a church. So here's the question, man. Can anybody function without a heart? You can't. It drives everything we do. So here's what we need to understand, Pioneer. We can't be a church of the Lord Jesus Christ if we aren't made up of men and women and boys and girls who have trusted Jesus to save them and who are currently growing in that faith. So how many of you have heard, like, faith is a muscle? You heard that? Anybody ever heard that? Yeah, some of you. And it's true to a degree, right? Billy Sunday used to say this all the time. He used to say, man, I could go stand in a garage and say I'm a car all day. Doesn't make me a car, does it? See, our proclamation of our faith is okay. It's important. But that's not what drives us to action, right? We can say we have faith all day, but if it doesn't move us to action, then it's really no faith at all. And so faith in Christ is the first step to a healthy church. The reason why we come here week after week, the reason why you give your tithes and your money and your offerings here to this church, the reason why we serve the community is because we believe that this thing called the gospel is the most important thing in the world. Like, we believe that it's the answer to every problem everybody has. We believe that it is worth laying everything else down to take up. But here's my question this morning. Do you believe that? Like, in your heart right now, do you believe that the gospel is worth it all? And you believe without a shadow of a doubt that it is sufficient for every need of our life, personally and as a church? You see, man, that makes really good statements, doesn't it? Like, we could put that on our website and it sounds great. But if the people, the part of the body, if we don't live that out, it's hypocrisy. And so this is the first step in our checkup this morning is, what's the substance of your faith? What's your heart beating for? You see, if we have no faith, we have no heart, and a body without a heart is dead. And so what's at the core of you today? And what's at the core of Pioneer Church? Why do we do what we do? But the fact that we have faith, again, is not the end of it. That's just the beginning of it. Peter goes on to tell us that we've got to not only possess this faith, but we've got to do something with it. Look at verse 3 again. He says, His divine power, God's divine power, has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. I need to unpack this just a little bit for us. This divine power is something that happens outside of us, right? That's God's responsibility. God is saying, if you are my people and I'm going to build my church through you, there are certain things that you need from me that you can't procure on your own, right? He says His divine power then gives us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So we have this at our disposal, these things that produce life. How many of you want to have life in your church? Listen, every Sunday is not a funeral. Praise God, we have a risen King that we worship. This is a celebration. I know the lights are low in here, but that's because it's, you know, these lights give me a headache. But, like, it's a celebratory time. We should be the most joyful people in the world. But yet we come in sometimes and we go, it's another Sunday, right? We should be the epitome of life. But then godliness, there's a standard that we are to adhere to, man. We're not just to be another civic or benevolent entity in culture to where people can come have their needs met, but they don't see something different about us. We are meant to stand out as lights, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. And so Peter's saying, listen, God's giving you these opportunities. He's giving you what you need to become that. But you got to do something too. And so here's where I think he's leading us. Not only do we need to check on the substance of our faith, but we need to talk about the strength of our faith. That's the pulse of our church. You know, here's the cool thing about your body is that you don't have to be a doctor to identify certain things about yourself, do you? Like when we're kids, we're taught how to check our own pulse, aren't we? You remember when you were a kid, that was the most fascinating thing? I can feel my heartbeat in my wrist. How cool is that, right? And like you sit there and you do it. Now we have these things, right, that tell you all the time what's going on in your body. But God's given us the ability to check our own pulse. It's one of the first things that a doctor does when you go for a checkup, right? Why does he do that? Why does he check our pulse?
Check your heart.
To check your heart. It is an indicator of what's going on in your heart, right? It is a gauge of the health of your heart. Man, if your pulse isn't right, they don't have to do any more tests. They know something's not right. And so God has given us this opportunity to check the pulse of our church. So let me kind of tie this together. So if our church represents the faith that we have, then the application of that faith is the gauge of how much we're using it. So the pulse of our church is how we're implementing that faith. Okay? Now, this is not about how much we're implementing it. That's the next point. But the pulse of our church defines the approach that we take to the things God leads us to do as a church. Our pulse tells us how much trust we have in Jesus rather than other things. Let me explain what that means. There are churches all over the world who do a lot of things through a lot of different motivations, right? There are some churches who say, man, if we can afford it, we'll do it, right? So what's their pulse? Their bank account. God calls them to do something, they immediately go, well, how much money's in the bank? There are churches out there who say, we'll do it as long as it doesn't disrupt the status quo. Like, as long as we don't have to move anything, paint anything, as long as the carpet doesn't change colors, as long as we can maintain what we've always been, then we'll do it. So what's their pulse? Comfort. Familiarity. You see, there's a lot of different gauges to the faith that we have. If you were to go into those churches that are like that and you say, hey, do you have faith? Absolutely I do. But what is your faith in? You see, you know what your faith is in by what drives the decisions that you make. And so here's what Peter's saying, man. Everything you need to be all that God wants you to be is at your disposal. You just got to believe it and you got to do something with it. Can I tell you something? God will provide every single thing Pioneer Church needs to accomplish the purpose for which he's called Pioneer to accomplish. Everything. We don't have a money issue. Like we don't have a space issue. We don't have a people issue if we trust God for it. But when we start looking at other things and we start checking different pulses, then we begin to get confused and foggy. And so God is calling us to evaluate the pulse of our church. So here's my question for you. What is your pulse on here in coming to Pioneer? What's your motivation? What are you relying on when it comes to planning and attempting things for the kingdom? Here's what I know, man. This is proven true in my short life. God will always call you to things that are bigger than you. He's going to call Pioneer to do things that we can't afford yet. He's going to call us to things that we have no earthly idea how they're going to get accomplished. How do I know that? Because he says he wants to do exceedingly abundantly beyond what we could ask or even imagine. We read that and then go, yay, God! Until he calls us to do the things that are exceedingly and abundantly beyond what we can ask or imagine. And then we go, whoa, wait a minute. But if our heartbeat is faith in Jesus, our job is to proclaim and demonstrate the gospel, and he's going to provide everything else. If we do that, we're healthy. So here's my question. How is your spiritual pulse this morning? As a part of the body of Pioneer Church, what are you trusting in? What's your motivation for being here, for serving? You see, a weak pulse indicates a weak heart, and a weak heart, of course, is an unhealthy heart. But the purpose of a checkup is not just to identify the problems, right? A good doctor will do what? He'll give you a plan of action. Hey, man, this is your reality. Now let's find out how we can get you to health. And so Peter does the same thing. He creates a plan for us. And so he gives us some exercises that a church should do, should focus on in order to implement and strengthen their heart or their faith. Look at verse 5. For this reason, because all this is available to us, right? Because we have this potential because of our faith, here's what we should do. Make every effort to supplement your faith. Well, that's interesting. I thought TJ just said all it takes is faith. Well, listen to what he says. Make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours, and here's the key, and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's the good news this morning. We're not going to go through all those attributes, okay? We're going to take the next several weeks and walk through what he's talking about. when he's talking about supplementing our faith. But what I do want us to focus on for just a minute is this word faith or supplement. What does it mean that our faith should be supplemented? It's the Greek word there. Just hang with me for a second. Epikoresio. That's, go to lunch today. You can tell people, I learned a great word today, epikoresio. But you have to know what it means, so pay attention. Epikoresio means to supply or nourish, to build up what's lacking. Now that's odd, because how can our faith be lacking if it's in the right place? Well, Peter's not saying that your faith is lacking necessarily, but there are things that are needed in your faith to make your faith as demonstrative and effective as it should be. The root word of epikoresio is choresio, which means to lead a chorus. How many of you took chorus growing up? Or maybe you were in band. We'll use band too. So here's what's amazing about that. A good conductor can stand in front of a group of people who have different minds, who have different voices, who have different ranges, and he can bring them all together to create a beautiful sound, can he not? So here's what Peter's saying. This effort to supplement your faith is bringing all these other attributes together to make your faith stand out so much more, to make it look that much more beautiful, and for it to become even more effective. And when we talk about effectiveness and fruitfulness, we can exchange those words for what? Health. And if we're accomplishing God's purpose, if we're doing it the right way, we're healthy. And healthy churches accomplish God's purpose. So Peter's saying, man, the exercising of our faith can't be one-dimensional. What he means is, look, I just can't say I've got faith. Or I can't just demonstrate my faith in any which way that I just want to do it, whichever's comfortable for me. You know, here's what's so funny. We're going to talk about this in the weeks to come, but you want to know the greatest test of your faith? It's not in your prayer life. It's not in your attendance. You know where it comes from? Your pocketbook. Giving is not about finances. It's about faith. If I believe it's God's, and I believe I'm just entrusted with some of it, then I don't have a problem giving it away. And so we're going to learn that, man, we kind of want to pick and choose how to demonstrate our faith. But Peter says, man, if you want to be healthy, there's got a lot of ways that we demonstrate our faith. And so the faith must be active, and it must be an expression of the faith that we have in different ways. You guys tracking with me on that? So I'm going to tie this all together. Let me tell you what Martin Luther said. I love this. He says, we're saved by faith alone, but the faith that saves is never alone. So what is he saying there? You could say, well, the gospel is you've got the forgiveness of Christ, the propitiation of Christ, the atonement of Christ, and all that. But here's what he's saying. And Luther came to this realization later on in his life. First of all, he didn't like James. He called it the epistle of straw, because James says faith without what is dead? Works. But as Luther grew, he understood that you can't say you have faith without demonstrating it. And so, yes, we're saved by faith alone, but the faith that we have can't be alone. It must be backed up with work, exercising that faith. So what Peter is teaching us is that in order for our faith to be what it's supposed to be, we've got to put it in practice and unite it together like a chorus and make it evidential through our actions. And so here's the point I want to make. This talks about the stamina of our faith. How effective is our faith? And so this is the activity or the activeness of the church. Now here's what's so difficult about that. How do you build stamina? Anybody run in here? That's right. I don't either. I will be, though. How do you build stamina, though? A little at a time. what if tomorrow I decide I'm going to go buy me a nice pair of Brooks tennis shoes because those are the best shoes that you run in, right? And I'm going to get all the running garb, them shorty shorts that those runners wear, right? And I get out there and I get good and hydrated and I say, here we go, 5K today. We're starting at 5K. How far do you think I'm going to get? Into my driveway. And my driveway ain't that long either. If I have a good wife, I won't even get out of the house with them shorts on, right? But the truth is, man, we set these expectations for ourselves that we are not at a place that we can meet yet. And here's the thing about churches, man, when we get in routines and we have these things that we've neglected, we don't realize they are. I didn't realize I was in the shape I was in. I felt fine. But you know when I started to realize it was a problem? That guy said, hey, man, let's play softball. And I had to put that into practice. And so faith is exercised and it becomes effective a little at a time. And the way that we do it is by consistently and intentionally putting it into practice in very tangible ways. Now, here's a hard reality. Not many believers want to do that. Because it's hard to run a little bit and give out and be okay with that. It's hard for us to have to put in the work and to make time for it. Because here's what I know. Here's what I know about me. Well, there's so much already in my life. Like the first thing that, you know, when the doctor was like, man, you got to change the way you eat. I'm going, bro, do you understand my schedule? Like sometimes it's grabbing something from meeting one to meeting two and, you know, 9 o'clock at night when you're out of everything. And look, I'm sorry, but they're not offering fresh salads at 9 o'clock at night, dude. You know what he said? Well, you won't be going to meetings much longer if you don't change the way you live. I know. We got a lot of things in our life. There's work, there's activities, there's hobbies, there's vacations, there's life in general. But listen, we have all that stuff that fills our life, and then we go, but man, why is the church not growing? Like, we're not really making a difference in the community. What's going on? What's the problem? It's like this. It's like saying, you know what? I want a six-pack of abs, right? I want the six-pack abs. I want the 50 beats per minute resting heart rate, you know? But I'm not willing to do anything to get there. It's like what I used to do. You get to a place where you go, man, my shirts aren't fitting right. There's a problem. I need to do something about that. So you know what I do? I order a bigger shirt. And then you come and say, man, you're losing weight. I know. Bigger shirt. It's the same concept, though. You see, we want so much out of the church, don't we? But here's what we fail to realize. We're the church. And we can't expect somebody else to do it and us reap the benefits. A body is only as healthy as its most unhealthy part. You know how I can prove that? Go smash your little toe with a hammer today. It's going to affect your whole body. You see, we can't expect things out of our church if we're not the ones putting those things into practice. And so this is where the message gets a little personal for me. My biggest fear, man, I've shared this with you before. My biggest fear in life is that I'll get to heaven and I'll stand before God. And he'll go, I gave you people, resources, opportunities to make a kingdom difference in Rockingham County. And you wasted it. That wakes me up at night. To stand before a holy God, knowing that he loves me, knowing that he's going to say, welcome, come in, but have to say, you're right. I did not do the best with what you gave me. I read this question a few years ago when we were praying about planting a church. And it wasn't relevant at the time, but it's still a scary question. But now, as God has led us into this kind of checkup time, it's a very relevant question for us. On the back of your handout, I want you to look at it, and I want you to answer this question. If Pioneer Church ceased to exist, if Pioneer Church ceased to exist tomorrow, what effect would that have on our community? Like, think about that. Like, if tomorrow this right here didn't exist, would people still ride down the road the same way they always have? Well, people know if we're not here. Something the Lord's been laying on my heart here lately. If I can be honest with you, and it's a hard thing to do in a checkup, right? Is be honest. But if I'm honest, I'm not satisfied with the answer to that question in my mind. So here's my question. Are you? Like, are you okay with doing a little bit of ministry, having a good time, maybe growing a little bit, getting a nice holy huddle, and then skirting off into eternity? And not leaving a kingdom mark on Rockingham County. I'm not all right with it. And I don't think you are either. Here's the thing. We've done some good things to do that. Like we have. But we've also got room to grow. And here's the thing. Like, we got excuses. Good excuses. I mean, COVID's going to be a legit excuse for several years, right? I mean, how many of you have that in your back pocket? Like, COVID. Like, I didn't pay my taxes for 5 years. COVID. I don't know. But excuses don't change the reality, do they? And we're about the reality. So here's what I want you to hear again. I hope you're not discouraged. I hope you don't feel defeated from this. I hope that you are motivated by the checkup that God gives us. But we got to see the truth, right? It doesn't matter what we sit in here and declare. Doesn't matter what we put on our website or what we say we are. What matters is how that translates into the world outside these walls. And Peter says, you want to be effective and fruitful? If that's your goal, you got some work to do. And so he gives us seven things. And like I said, we're going to go through those seven things over the next coming weeks. But I want to finish our time this morning with some specific diagnoses of Pioneer Church. And again, I feel like I just need to say this because I want you to know my true heart. Like, this is an amazing church. I'm so grateful for you. I'm thankful for you. I have watched you guys serve and give in ways that are just amazing to me. You feed hungry children. You take up school supplies. You provide Christmas for families. I've watched you gather around people in our church who are hurting and weep over them. I've watched you give selflessly to people in Africa who you'll never meet, probably, this side of eternity. I've watched you pray for one another. 29 people volunteer for VBS. Praise the Lord, man. We're a good church. But are we where we need to be? So there's some things we need to work on. And I've taken these seven things and I've broken them up into three categories, three responses that we're going to look at over the next several weeks of how we are to respond to God's checkup. So let me give you the first one. The first one is we got to grow up. We got to grow up. Now, I don't want you to hear that negatively, like y'all are a bunch of immature little brats. That's not it. What I mean is that we've got to become better Pioneer Church in our pursuit of sanctification, which is discipleship, right? It's not enough to believe in the gospel. You're going to go to heaven with that. But what do you have to show for it, for the kingdom outside of that? God's called us to grow up in our faith. Disciples make disciples. You know what the number one gauge of a healthy church is? It reproduces. It reproduces. The gospel doesn't get old. It doesn't become something we hang on the wall. And so listen, Pioneer, we've got to get better at discipleship. Listen, there are some of you have started your walk with Christ, but you're not walking the road of discipleship. You haven't joined your life with people who love you, who are going to be honest with you, or are going to teach the Bible to you. Some of you are walking the road of discipleship, but you're keeping it to yourself. You've got something to say. People need to hear your wisdom, your experience. And so here's what's going to happen over the next few weeks. Man, there are going to be some of you who are going to get a phone call from me who are going to say, listen, I've made some observations in your life. I want you to pray about leading a group. And you're immediately going to have 15 reasons why you shouldn't do that. Today, the checkup is, are those reasons really legitimate? Because here's the thing, we had five groups going into COVID. We have two that meet now. And again, COVID, right? It's time for the excuses to end. And so, man, we're going to take a look, a very intentional look at our small group life, and we're going to grow that over the next 6 months. But again, we need leaders. So I need you to pray, God, am I it? If you immediately say no, pray again, because chances are you probably are. If it resonates with you, if it's a burden, don't ignore it. We need leaders. And you say, man, I can't add anything else to my life. Listen, it's not about adding. It's about replacing. I can't eat a salad along with three hot dogs. It's got to be one or the other, right? Some of us need to replace some things, okay? But we need to grow up. And that's part of growing spiritually, is growing up. Here's the next thing. We got to get fit, man. These are spiritual disciplines. I used to work out all the time. Man, when I was in college, I was buff. When I got married, I was buff, wasn't I, honey? I was saying, I ain't lying to church. I did. I used to love to work out. I loved it. I enjoyed it. It hurt, though. When you get them new gains, man. You know how you build muscle? You know the biology of that? You know what happens? You're tearing the muscle fibers. And that hurts. You get sore. But it's so that water can get in there and make them bigger and stronger. And it takes discipline to do that. And so, Pioneer, we got some things that we've gotten lazy at. Primarily, you know the number one thing? We don't pray. Now listen, you pray. I know you pray. Like, I know you guys pray at home. I've heard you pray. I know you pray. And that's probably one of the reasons why we're not in worse shape than we are, because you do pray. But the standard's not being that we're not in terrible shape. The standard is what? Get more fit. And one of the things that has fallen off in us is that we don't pray together. This morning, Tyler reminded me, I try to come in early as they're practicing and getting ready, and I try to find a time after they've practiced, before everybody comes in, where we pray together as worship and all that. And we didn't do it today, you know, doing other things, you know. It's not a priority. We're lazy in that discipline. And so here's what we're going to do, Pioneer. On Wednesdays, you guys practice at 7 o'clock. From 6, we got to be out here at 7 on Wednesdays at 6 o'clock. Those doors are going to be open. I'm going to be here. And whoever wants to come pray, we're going to pray. Now, listen, I know you're going, oh, we're going to have a prayer meeting at Pioneer Church. No. If you know what a prayer meeting is, traditionally, that's not what we're going to have. And I'm not bashing all those other prayer meetings, but my experience with prayer meetings is we gossip. I mean, we take prayer requests for 30 minutes and we pray for two. It's not prayer, man. Here's what we're going to do at Pioneer Church. For an hour, 45 minutes, however long it takes, we're going to get on our face before the Lord as brothers and sisters, and we're going to seek Him about the future of His church and about our lives. And then we're going to be done. And here's what I would ask you to do. It's Wednesday. It's the middle of the week. There's a lot going on. Can you make an effort? Can you make an effort? And watch what God will do. We're going to take some time to revamp our Bible study stuff. Man, we say, here, read the Bible in a year, but we don't really help you with that. So we're going to get you some resources. We're going to put it on our website to where man, you can go reference that. Okay, here's how to study the Bible. There's a simple process I go through with my disciple, my men's group. It's observation, interpretation, application. If you can learn how to do that, you can study the Bible and grow. But how many of you know that? You see, we've got to give you the tools so that you can get fit. And so we're going to be implementing those things in the next few weeks. But here's what I want you to understand. We've done a lot of good things, but nothing of kingdom significance is ever accomplished apart from what, church? Prayer. You hadn't heard me say that in a while. And I have to confess, you know why? Because it hasn't been on my radar. I've gotten lazy. But it's time for a change. And then finally, we're going to get going. We're going to grow up. We're going to get fit. And then we're going to get going, man. There is a lot of things that God's calling us to do for his kingdom in this community. And we have got to get going. But here's what I want you to understand. We're going to refocus our attention outside the walls of Pioneer Church as we focus on our future inside the church. Now here's why I want to be real clear about this. 2 weeks ago, I asked you guys to pray specifically about our space needs. Like today, you know, we've got seats scattered around here. I bet if you go back there, though, it's like a zoo. Like our growth, and hear me, some of it, we're going to have to sacrifice in the future for space that you personally will never use. Like you'll probably never set foot in a children's wing at our facility. I get that. But it ain't about that. Those kids are hearing the gospel. In just a few weeks, we're going to baptize two, possibly three kids who are under 10 years old. I love when adults come to Christ. But man, they're rocking and rolling in there for the gospel. We can't hinder that. And so here's the truth. We need space. But the space is not going to become the idol. I stand here as your pastor, and I say this with all honesty as I can. I will quit before I allow a building to become the reason why we're here. But we need a building. I ain't sitting on a meal. Maybe you are. If you are, write us a check. Be a good write-off for you. But God's told us, I'll build my church. You seek me, you seek the kingdom, you be about the gospel. I'm going to take care of that stuff. And he's going to do that. We can't be one or the other focused. We've got to focus on the ministries that God's given us, the opportunities he's given us now in our little 2,200 square foot building as we plan and pray and prepare for what he has in the future. And so I say we're going to get going the next 6 months to a year, here's what we're going to do. We're going to set up a building fund, woo-hoo, to give you an opportunity to give. We're going to ask you to pray, to sacrifice. How would God have you support the future ministries of our church? But listen, man, we're not going to make a big deal out of it. Here's what I know. A healthy church is a proactive church. We're going to take care of that stuff. God's going to lead us to take care of that because we're going to be listening to him. I don't have to beg you to give money. God does that. He doesn't beg you. He just tells you to. But at the same time, as we're doing that, as we're making provisions for us to grow in our space, we're going to get a whole lot better at being intentional about the gospel and the capacities that we have now. We have a missional life quasi team. And they're responsible for doing things like Easter egg hunts and when we do a fall carnival and those types of things. And there's several things on our calendar that we've just kind of not done. And that's sad. And so in the next several months, we've got things planned to get us in the community. And so our job is to take the gospel outside of these walls. And so, man, as we get fit, as we grow up in our faith, it's time to get moving, get going. But there's one final question I want you to ask, and it's on the bottom of your handout. Am I in? It sounds great. We see what's in front of us. We got some work to do. But here's what I'm asking you. And listen, don't answer that today. Go home this week. Take that handout, put it somewhere where you're going to see it. And in your time of prayer and study with the Lord, you look at it and you look at those red letters and you go, am I in? And if you're not in, ask God to show you why you're not in. Listen, when I first got the, you know, when he said, your cholesterol's through the roof, dude, you got to stop eating stuff that you like. I was like, I wasn't in. But then I got home and I looked at my kids and I looked at my wife and I was like, I feel awful. Like, this is not the future I want to have. I slowly bought in. And listen, I know that I've just given you a 30,000 foot view of the future of Pioneer. Like, didn't answer a lot of questions at all. I get that. And so maybe you go, man, I need to see a little bit more detail. Then come the next few weeks. Yeah, I believe you're going to hear it. I believe you're going to see it. But here's what I know, church. God has kingdom plans for us. I want to be a part of it. And I know you do too. Lives are at stake. So let's grow up. Let's get fit. And man, let's get going. Let me pray for us. Father, I thank you so much for our time together this morning. Father, I'm grateful for every person who has come to worship today. And Lord, I know that for some of them, maybe what they heard today was not what they were expecting. But God, I fully trust that you have sovereignly ordained this day for this. And Lord, I know that, God, there are people all in this place who love you, deeply. And God, who want to see your kingdom come. And your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And God, I know that they want to be a part of that. But Lord, there's some hard choices that we all have to make. So God, would you help us right now in this time of prayer and decision? Would you help us look at our life, look at our relationship with you and where we are with you? God, would you tell us the truth about our health? Personally, privately, before you. Would you show us the areas, God, that we maybe aren't surrendered to you, God, where there's laziness in our life, where, God, there's just a lack of affection, and maybe there's open sin. Father, would you not let us leave today until we've dealt with that? Right now, through the power of your Holy Spirit, would you, Lord, diagnose us, show us our reality. And then, God, in your good grace, would you not allow us to stay there? But would you move us to this place of commitment, Lord? Before any tangible act is ever done, there's got to be a commitment, a resolve in our heart. And Lord, maybe there's some of us here who go, man, I like this church. I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for how it meets my needs, but I just can't give anything else. I can't. There's no more time in my schedule. God, would you show them the reality of the body, that they are vital to the success and the effectiveness and the fruitfulness of our church. And so, Father, would you help them, Lord, to maybe make the hard decisions, to choose your kingdom work over other good things. God, we would never resort to manipulation or guilt. Lord, that doesn't produce anything. But the power of your Holy Spirit is what brings change. And so, God, we ask that you would move among this room this morning and that you would change hearts. God, change my heart. God, there's parts of this that are going to require work, extra time, extra effort. God, help us to say yes to you. And, Lord, we are asking, God, right now that even before we see what it looks like, that you will just give us a hope and a confidence in our future. Lord, because you're the one that's in control of it, help us to trust you. May our heart beat strongly for the gospel of Jesus. And may we show that outside these walls. So, Lord, as we sing to you, as we end our time today, would you just deal with our hearts. And God, may we please respond appropriately. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.